Okay, today's daf is daf Tesvav, page 15 in Masechet Sanhedrin. We were on the bottom of Yudalad Amud Beis. We are still discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches all sorts of areas of halacha that require three judges. We're taught that in regards to redeeming Netta Revai, that is produce of the fourth year, or Maaser Sheni, or the second tithe, that's produce that's supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of purity. If you don't want to eat it in Yerushalayim in a state of purity, you can redeem it. So you need three judges in order to redeem it, three assessors. Last thing we saw, the Gemara asked, do those three assessors have to be financially independent of each other? And the Gemara tried to prove that they do not, and the Gemara said we can't prove it one way or the other. All right, we're on the third wide line here in Yudalad Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Ha'ikdeshos, when it comes to consecrated property, so then we need three judges to evaluate its value in order to remove the sanctity, and then based on that evaluation, we can remove the sanctity and put it onto coins. According to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, I think it was, it had to be two of that. The one of them had to be a Kohen. And then we saw that when it comes to property that's consecrated, the assessment is done by 10, one of them being a Kohen. So there's a difference between consecrated movables and consecrated land. Consecrated land, the valuation of what it's worth is done by 10, and then the sanctity is removed and placed onto coins. Consecrated movables, the valuation is done by 3. Says the Gemara, Masnis in our Mishnah, that makes such a distinction between land and movables, is Deloki Hai Tana. It's not like the following Tana, the Tana related to Braisa. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, Afilu Tzinora, even a small fork. So a fork is not land, it's a movable shel hekdesh, a golden fork that was consecrated, that belongs to the temple trust. If you want to remove its sanctity, tzricha asar b'nei adam luftosa, you need 10 people to come, and the 10 should give us a value, they should assess what it's worth, and then with 10, we can take the sanctity off of the fork and put it onto coins. Rav Papa said to Abai, Bishmuli Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I can understand according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who doesn't make a distinction between movables and land. Amar Kishmua, he is following the view of Shmuel. If you look in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, Amar Shmuel pointed out, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Baparsha. The Psukim talk about all sorts of different financial gifts to Hekdesh, a gift called Erechin. Erechin is set values based on ages. A person who says, Erech, Katan Zelai, the value of this child who's over the age of 5, there's a certain set value for that. A value of someone over the age of 20, there's a set value. So there's Erechin. And then we have the consecration of animals that are not kosher, animals that couldn't become karbanos, like consecrating a pig or something to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the consecration of land. So in all of these different consecrations, the word Kohen keeps coming up. There's a total of 10 times the word Kohen is mentioned. 3 times in regards to Erechin, 3 times in regards to giving and then buying back non-kosher animals from the Temple Trust, and 4 times in regards to consecrating and buying back land from the Temple Trust. So it mentioned the word Kohen 10 times. Shmuel said, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Baparsha, in the section of redeeming Hekdesh, there are 10 times the word Kohen is mentioned. So that means you need to have 10 people. So 10 people for all types of consecrations, for consecrations of land, like the Mishnah. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that for a consecrated fork, which is a movable thing, you also need 10 people based on the psukim. What's the question, Bar?
Why did you have 3, you said, for movables?
That's our Mishnah. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds 10. So we're saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we understand. He's in the Braisa. We understand why he says 10, because in the psukim of consecration, we have a total of the word Kohen 10 times. El Rabbanan, but according to the Rabbanan, who distinguish between land and movables, so Shlosha min Elu, how did they ever get this number of 3 to evaluate the value of the movables? If you're going to say, because it says, in regards to redeeming a non-kosher animal that was consecrated, Shlosha mentions the word Kohen 3 times. 1 second. Karkaos, but according to them then, why do they say in land you need 10? In regards to redeeming land, the Torah mentions it 4 times. The Tchsiv Bu Arba, the Torah mentions the word Kohen 4 times in regards to land. So then land should require 4, not land 10. Tizki Barba, land should need 4 assessors, not 10 assessors. Because if you're going to say that according to the Rabbanan, we just look at the section of the Torah that talks about this item, the Torah that talks about the item of land only mentions the word Kohen 4 times. If you're going to say that according to the Rabbanan, you really only need 4 people to assess the value of land that was consecrated, but that's not like our Mishnah. Alam Atzman. Why did our Mishnah say, HaKarkos Tishav a Kohen? Our Mishnah says that land needs 10 people, one of them being a Kohen. Elamai, so what do you have to say? Why does land need 10? To Meshami Bula Asara. So you say like this. The section begins with talking about Erechin. It mentions the word Kohen 3 times in regards to Erechin. Then it talks about Behema Tzmeya, a non-kosher animal that was consecrated. It mentions the word Kohen 3 times there. Then it talks about land. It talks about Kohen 4 times. So in total, 3 plus 3 plus 4 equals 10. So we say that the last section of the Torah, talking about land being consecrated and being brought back, has Kohen 4 times, but that has to be added to the other times that it mentions Kohen. So that's a total of 10. Well, if that's the case, Hekdesho, so when we talk about consecrating objects, that's not Erechin, that's a consecration, that's like the section of consecrating a non-kosher animal, it should be 6, because you had 3, and then you have another 3. So why does the Mishnah say that all movables are deconsecrated by 3? Movables should be deconsecrated by 6, if your Mishnah is going to say that land is deconsecrated by 10. So Liboy Shita, you need 6. So Boris says, Kashi, you're right, there's a problem here. We don't know the answer.
Rabbi, what is the relationship between the number of Kohens and the appraisers?
That's how we're interpreting it. Every time the Torah mentions, why did the Torah have to mention the word Kohen so often in the section? It's to teach you how many appraisers are needed to remove the sanctity.
But Kohen is not one of the appraisers.
He is. In land, he is.
In land, he is one of the appraisers.
But they
got to
be mumkins, right?
Yeah, that's true. So they have to be experts in business. Then the Mishnah says, Ha'arachet ha'metaltlin. Now, this is a problem, because we know there are 2 types of consecration. There's something called dummy alai, my value, or the value of something that's consecrated to Hekdesh. And then there's Erechin. Erechin is set values based on ages of the people, not how much they're worth, based on what they'd get in the slave market, but a set value based on the age. Yeah. So what do you mean, Erechin of movables are 3? My Erechin ha'metaltlin. What does it mean, Erechin of movables? Erechin is the valuation of a person. Rav Gidol Marav. Rav Gidol answers the name of Rav. Bo'omer erech kli zeh alai. It's when a person says the value of this utensil is my obligation. I have to give to Hekdesh. So we need to then have 3 people to assess the value of the utensil, which is how much he has to give. Rav Gidol Marav. Rav Gidol taught in the name of Rav. If a person says the value of this utensil I owe to the temple trust, no same dama, he has to give its value, its worth, my time up. So why? He didn't say d'mei klizeh alai, the value of this utensil. He said erech, and erech doesn't make sense with utensils. Hashem didn't give erech values for utensils. No, because adam yodea she'en erech l'kli. Everyone knows that there's no such thing as an erech in Parshas Bechukosai for different utensils. So if he said the utensil's going to Hekdesh, so what did he mean? Must have meant Gamar Vamar L'shem Damim. He must have meant the value of it. Mishamachi knows Saint Damim, so he has to give its value. So the Gemara says, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah that he said Erech Klize Alai, the value of this utensil, so hi Erechin Hamitaltlin. So why does it talk about Erechin of movables? It should be Erechin values. Arachin values shel mitaltlin, right? Not arachin that are movable. It should be arachin of movables. That's what it should have said. So you might say, okay, that's what it means. Tani, you have to change the language a little bit. Arachin shel mitaltlin. The erech of movables. We need three to give us the erech of what the movable is. That's explanation number one. Rav Chisda Amar Avimi. Rav Chisda said in the name of Avimi. Another explanation. We're talking about b'matfis mitaltlin la'arachin. He said, let's say the erech of Yehuda is on me. And Yehuda, we know, is a 35-year-old man. So that means he has to give 50 shekel to Hekdesh. Okay, because the Torah gives set values based on ages. So he said an erech of a certain person. That means, and we know the age of the person, that's a certain value he needs to give. But he doesn't have cash. So he wants to pay his debt with a table, with a cup, with a fancy painting. So when he's giving metals and he's giving movables, la'arachin, to pay off the valuation. So now we have to evaluate what these movables are worth. Is it really paying off the debt? So that we need three. Why says 1 second? Hi, arachin hamitaltlin. So then again, why does the Mishnah call it arachin, a movable arachin? It should be mitaltlin shel arachin mibayle. Again, it should be the movables of arachin. In other words, the movables that pay off erech obligations. Okay, so change the Mishnah. Tani, change the Mishnah. Metaltlin, shel arachin. Change the Mishnah. That's what it means. And possibility number three for what the Mishnah means. Rabbi Avo, Amar Bavo said, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, movable arachin need three? Bo'omer, it's where a person said, erki olai, my value is on me, and based on his age, that's a certain amount he has to pay. But he never pays. So, bakkoin ligos mena metaltlin. So a kohen comes to collect the debt that is now owed to Hekdesh, and he's trying to grab things, he's grabbing movables from him. So the Kohen needs shlosha, the Kohen needs three assessors to evaluate what it's worth that he's taking, so that he doesn't take something worth more than what it's really worth. But if he's taking karkos, if he's trying to take land for this debt that this man owes to Hekdesh, Basar, he needs 10 people to evaluate the land. That's what Rebbe Avoh said. Rav Acham Adifti Ravina. Rav Acham Adifti said to Ravina, "Bishlam alafukim hekdesh. I can understand if we're taking something out of Hekdesh, if something was already given to Hekdesh, we now want to get it out. Being on Shlosha, we need three to evaluate its real value, so that Hekdesh doesn't lose by getting underpaid. Elalalilu Hekdesh, but in terms of putting something into Hekdesh, Shlosha lamali, why do we need three? Amalei, so he said Svarahu, it's simple logic. Mali aluye, mali afuke. There should be no difference between putting something in and taking something out. Afuke, my time, why do you understand why we need three when we're trying to take something away from Hekdesh? Because if you don't have three assessors, dilmatai, you might make a mistake in terms of what the real valuation is. And then you're going to end up underpaying Hekdesh. So now if Hekdesh is owed 50, and you don't have three people assessing the value of what you want to take for that 50, you might, if you only have one person, let's say, so that one person might exaggerate the value of the item. And again, Hekdesh is going to lose out, because it really deserves 50, but it gets an item worth 20. So Hekdesh loses out. So again, you need to have three to get a right valuation. So Ayuli also, Ayuli Nami, when you're bringing something into Hekdesh, Dilmatai, maybe people are going to make mistakes in evaluation when it's only one. That's when you need to have three to evaluate to make sure Hekdesh gets its fair amount.
And did you have the three appraisers? Is that what they did?
There are different opinions in terms of how these three work. It could be they take the average of the three appraisers. It could be that the three bid for it. So we see how the bid goes, you know. So we see what's the highest bid. That's the way to sort of figure out. Yeah, that they may auction it. So we see what's the real market value by having a real auction. If you only have one person or two people, you don't really have a real sense of what the auction is, what the real value is.
I'm sorry, we're talking about after we get the kli to the Mikdash, now the Bet Mikdash, the Kohanim want to sell it and get cash.
That was the view of Rav Chisda. According to Rav Avoh, it's that you haven't given anything to the Mikdash yet.
I'm just saying.
But you owe, so the Kohanim come to take something for what you owe.
Now we see that Kohanim, they work for all the kebabs they were eating.
Maybe.
They did some work there. For
Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that the three who are assessing the value of movable arachin, one of them has to be a Kohen. Amalei Papa Abayi, Papa said to Abayi, Bishmul Rabbi Yehuda, I understand why Rabbi Yehuda would say one has to be a Kohen. Because remember, how do we get to these numbers? It's from how many times the word Kohen is mentioned in a section. The Dechsiv Kohen, because the Torah mentions the word Kohen, so one of them should be a Kohen. El Rabbanan, but according to the Rabbanan, that in terms of movables, you have three assessors, none of them being a Kohen. So Kohen, so, and Kohen Lamalu, why did the Torah mention the word Kohen? Right? That was Baruch's question. Mention some other word for assessor. Answer the Gemara, Akasha, that's a good question. All right. We have a lot of questions here that we don't resolve. Karkos, the Mishnah said, Kasha means that there is an answer. We just, you know, we're not bothering to give it to you. Whereas teku means you have to, there are different explanations. Teku could mean tick, put it into a pouch, put it away, or tishbi atar, because she's rabbayo, so yo, and everybody's going to answer it.
Stalemate.
Or stalemate is another explanation of teku, right. Harkarkos, if you have land that was consecrated, so to redeem the land, you need 10. 9 of them can be anybody, and one is a coin. You know, on Emilia, you know that you need 10. Amar Shmuel, that's what we quoted earlier. Shmuel said in these sections, Arachin, the consecration of a non-kosher animal and its redemption, and the consecration and redemption of land. Asara Kohanim Ksuvim B'Parsha, the Torah talks about the word Kohen, the Torah mentions the word Kohen 10 times. So Chad L'Gufei, one is to say that you need a Kohen. V'Hanach, on the other 10, is an example of Miut Achar Miut. We know that if you have an exclusion saying only a Kohen, and then again only a Kohen, it must mean the opposite. It could be anybody but a Kohen. It doesn't have to be a Kohen. Dafilu Tishi Yisrael, since it keeps excluding, it must be including. So it means 9 can be a Yisrael and Rechot Kohen, one a Kohen. Maskevar Avuna Breid Rav Nassim, Shavuna the son of Rav Nassim said, I understand. It should be 5 and 5. Eimach Hamisha Kohanim and Hamisha Yisraelim. It should be 5 Kohanim and 5 Yisraelim. Because let's say the first time it says Kohen, it means only Kohen. Then it says Kohen again, that means a Yisrael. But then it says Kohen, so that's now not an exclusion after an exclusion, it's an exclusion after an inclusion. Because Kohen number 2 is including someone who's not a Kohen. So it should be a total of 5 and 5. Again, Kasha, we don't know. That's the question. We don't know the answer. Adam Kiyotzeben, a person who consecrates himself, also needs 10 people to evaluate him to remove the consecration. What? Adam Mikadosh, how does a person become holy? Amar Bavo, Bavo explained, Omer, when a person says, Damai Alai, now, not the consecration of Arachin, the consecration of Damim, where he says, my value is on me. The time of the Nebraisa, Omer Damar Yolai, a person who says, my value is on me, I need to give it to Hekdesh. Shamano Sokevet, Anim Kabashuk, we have to evaluate his value as if he were a slave sold in the market. Now, a slave is an Eved Kanani. Eved is Kishla Karkos. Avadim are compared to land. Land we learned had to have 10. So he also needs 10. Why, Rav Avin asked the following question. What happens if a person consecrates the hair that's on his Eved? Is the hair considered a movable? So then it would only need 3. Or is the hair considered attached to him and then it needs 10 because an Eved is like Karka, needs 10. So Seir, Omid Ligazis, let's say the hair grew a lot and it's ready to be cut off, but Kama, how many that was consecrated, how many do you need to evaluate its value? Kigazis, dummy, is it considered already detached? Ubishloshas, then it's like movables, you need 3 assessors. Okamachubar, dummy, maybe it's considered attached. Uvasar, and it needs 10 assessors. Tashma, coming to your proof, we know that there's no law of Me'ila, there's no law of stealing from Hekdesh, and therefore bringing a carbon in land. And we learned, Tamakdish Avdo, if a person consecrates his slave, in Molimbo, there's no law of Me'ila in him, because a slave is like land. However, there would be Me'ila in a person using the hair of the consecrated slave for a secular purpose. The Kaimlan, so we know that we explain that this argument between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is Besaro Omid Ligazi's plegi. He's talking about hair that grew a lot and it's ready to be cut off. So you see that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, hair that's ready to be cut off is considered cut off. And according to the sages, it's still considered attached. That's why there's no me'ila. So if there's no me'ila because it's still considered attached, it should also need 10 to appraise its value. And if you consider it cut off and therefore it's already movable and there's me'ila in it, therefore you only need 3 for its appraisal.
Can you say the same thing about the trees with the fruits?
Next Gemara. Neimahani Tanais. Let's suggest that these Tanaim, Chacham Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kahani Tanai are in the same argument as the following Tanai, because we know there's going to be a concept called Moda B'Miktas. If somebody admits to part of a claim against him, let's say I say you owe me 100, you say you agree that you owe me 20, you need to swear about the other 80. So what? But not, there's no oaths in lands. So what about fruits attached to a tree that are about to cut off? The time that the Mishnah Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says, Yesh Tvarim Shein Kekarka, there are items still attached to the ground. Vein Kekarka, but they don't have the status of land. They have the status of movables. Vein Chacham Modelo, but the sages disagree. Kate said, what's the argument? Eser Kfanim, Tuunos, Masar Tilcha. I say, I gave you 10 grapevines filled with grapes, and you stole the grapes. Hello, Omen, you say back, in an El Chamish, no, you gave me 5. Rebbe Meir Machai, Rebbe Meir says, you have to swear. Chacham Omen, no, Chacham say, call him Chubu Lakarka, Reu Kakarka. You're talking about things attached to the ground. There are no oaths in ground. So you don't need to swear. Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanin, Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanin explained, by another moment, Libatzeh Raskin, and we're talking about grapes that are fully ripe and ready to come off. Mar Sever Kibbutzuristam, Rebbe Meir holds it once it's fully ripe, it's like hair that's fully ripe, so it's ready to come off. Since it's ready to come off, it's already considered off. So we're talking about movables, we're talking about grapes. Omar Savar, where's the Chachamim old? Lav Kibtzuras Tamyan. At the end of the day, it's still attached to the ground right now. It hasn't come off yet, so it's considered ground, so there's no oaths. Omar says it's not necessarily linked. Lo, Afilu Temer Rabbi Meir. Our case of hair can work, even according to Rabbi Meir, in regards to grapes. When does Rabbi Meir say that the grapes are considered detached? Because once grapes ripen, the more you leave it, the worse it gets. So you know it's coming off. But in regards to hair, no. The more you leave it, the better it gets. It grows longer, it gets better. So there's no guarantee that the hair is coming off. So maybe in regards to hair that's ready to come off, it's considered still attached. But grapes that are ready to come off are considered detached. So now moving.
Where's the evaluation? Mine came out. You see, I'm
where's the evaluation taking place in this comparison?
I have to sell.
Because the slave could be brought to the temple, but right. The grapes on the vines, or the apples on the trees, if they're still attached.
It's not about evaluation, it's about a different halacha, whether they are considered land or movables in regards to obligating an oath. Because you only swear about movables, you don't swear about land.
Both the slave and it's like land, right?
A slave is like land, right? And his hair is like that, which is attached to the land.
Right. But it's not about whether he's in the temple or outside the temple. That's irrelevant.
He's consecrated, or his hair is consecrated, right. So we have to bring people in to evaluate the value.
Okay, that's my question. So are we bringing the people to the slave, or the slave is coming to the...
We can bring them to the slave.
Okay, because the tree with the apples, you can't move it, right?
Yeah, that's right, you can't move the tree. But the tree is about a different halacha. It's not about temple. The tree is about claim and counterclaim. It also impacts if it's land or not. But it's not about the temple. It wasn't consecrated, the tree. That I claim that somebody owes me 5 trees. I claim he owes me 10 trees. He claims 10 laden trees. He claims he owes me 5 laden trees. Does he have to swear or not? So if you say that they're already considered detached, he should swear. If they're not considered detached, then he can't swear because you don't swear about land.
It's not about the valuation of the trees.
No. Then we learned about cases of life and death. Dina nefashos. Matters of life and death need 23 judges, and the Mishnah mentioned cases of an ox that has intercourse with a woman, or an ox has intercourse, an ox who a man had intercourse with him, Rovea Vinirva. So let's say the first case, an ox who has intercourse. So Kapazak Vitania mentioned an ox who has intercourse. It sounds like Loshno Rovea, whether it's the ox having intercourse with a zachar, with a male, Loshno Rovea Nekeva, or the ox having intercourse with a woman. So Loshno Rovea Nekeva, you understand if an ox has an intercourse with a woman, you need 23 judges to see, because the pasuk says, V'harakta Sa'isha V'asabeima, you'll kill the woman and the animal, so it links the animal to woman. So just like the woman needs 23, the ox needs 23, Ela Rovea, but if an ox has intercourse with a man, zachar, you know, and how do we know that if a male ox has intercourse with a male man, that the male ox is killed with 23 judges? Let's say that, for that we have a pasuk. Kol shochevim beima mos yumas. Anyone who sleeps with an animal is put to death. And this is not a reference to the man being active, because we already know that when a man is active from another pasuk, isha sheyitena shchavto, a man will give his laying must be it's a situation where the man is, the ox is intercoursing into the man, and it's used in the language of a man having intercourse with him to say that you need 23 judges. Avki Rachman Hashem used it belashon shochev in the language of the man having intercourse with him, lakushe nishkav l'shochev, to say that both when the man is the active one and when the man is the sort of raped one, in both cases, the ox and the man are the same, and they need 23 judges. Just like when a man is the active one with the animal, you need 23 judges, because the pasuk says, most you must, it links the animal to the person. So too, when an animal rapes a man, we need 23 judges to judge him and 23 judges to judge the animal. Then the Mishnah said another case when we need 23 judges is an animal that kills, shor haniskal. If an animal kills a person, the animal is supposed to be stoned to death. Its property is now asur b'hanah. You can't get benefit from it. Again, you need 23 judges to judge the case. Besim v'shlosh, you need 23 judges. How do we know that? Shenever, the pasuk says about an animal that kills, hashor yisakel, the animal shall be stoned. The gam ba'alav you must, and the owner of the animal shall also die. So it doesn't actually mean that. We don't kill a person for what his animals do, we only kill him for what he does. So what must mean? Kemisas ha'bailim. It means, the reason why it says it, and the owner shall also die, is to say that the death of the animal is like what would have been the death of the owner. It needs 23 judges. So the Gemara says, why do you read it that way? Amalei ha'bailim rav, ha'bailim sits rav, ha'mimai da'i v'gam ba'alav you must. Kemisas ha'bailim, kachmisas ha'shorudas. How do you know that when the verse says, and also the owner dies, it means that the animal dies in a way of humans, it dies through 23 judges. Maybe it means it literally, that the owner of the animal shall be put to death because he allowed his animal to go kill. So the Gemara says, no. Imkain, if that would have been the meaning, the Torah should have said, Ashor yisakel, the animal shall be stoned, the gam ba'alav, and also its owner. The Lishto can stop there. Why add the word, you must? So the Gemara says, maybe not. Because of Rachmana Achiv, the Torah would have said, Ashor Yisakel v'gam ba'alav, havamina b'skila. I would have thought that the owner gets stoned, right? It says, Ashor Yisakel, the animal will be stoned, v'gam ba'alav, and also its owner. That means the owner also gets skila. That we don't want to give him. The Gemara said, no, you would never have thought that. B'skila salka daitach, why would you have thought that he'd get skila? Katal ihu, if he himself kills. Remember, there are four deaths that the court gives. There's stoning, there is burning by pouring hot lead down his throat, there is choking, and there is beheading. There is death by sword. So one second. Katal iyu, if the man himself kills, besides, he gets killed by death by sword. So now, mimono, if his property kills, he gets the worst death. He gets skila, he gets stoned. That doesn't make any sense. The Torah says, maybe not. Why? V'doma haidachsev rachmana yumas. Maybe when the Torah says, v'gambal of yumas. So it doesn't make sense to say that. So therefore, we can't say v'gam ba'alav because we would know that it doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, one second, v'dilma, but maybe ha'idichsiv rachmana yumas la'kuli alei. Maybe the Torah says v'gam ba'alav yumas is not to say that the death of the ox is like the way a man would be put to death, but rather to be lenient on the owner, to say like this, la'fuke misayef l'chenek, to say if he himself kills, then he gets beheaded. But if his animal kills, then he gets choked. But he does die, but he gets a lesser death. So the Gemara says, well, honey, chalaman damar chenek kamar. If you're going to say that choking is not a lesser death, so we have an answer to this question. Elman damar chenek kal. But if you're going to say that choking is in fact less than beheading, so Michael Amemar said, now what are you going to say? So answer the Gemara, lo salkadaitach, you can't think that. Because the pasuk says, im kofar yushas alav, if the owner has a payment placed upon him for what his animal did, for having killed somebody, he has to pay redemption. He has to pay money. If you're going to think that the owner is getting killed by Ktala, who he deserves to be killed, the Torah says you're not allowed to accept any payment, any redeeming payment when a murderer kills. So the Gemara says, no, Adrabah, maybe not. That's exactly what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is saying like this, katal ihu, if he himself kills, lo tiskle b'mona ela b'ktala. If a man kills somebody else, he has to be put to death, he can't pay any money. But then the Torah is saying, katal shoro, but if his ox puts to death, really, he then gets a lesser death, He doesn't get the sword, he gets choking. But Lifruk Nash Mimona, and if he doesn't want that, he can redeem himself by giving money. So the Torah maybe is saying that this is all part of the leniency of a man, that there's a lesser severity when his animal kills than when he kills, but it's not saying that the animal is judged the way he's judged. Elo Amar Chizkiah, so Chizkiah said, V'chein Tanah de Chizkiah, there was also a teacher of Brisos from the yeshiva of Chizkiah. Amar Kra, the pasuk says about a murderer, Mosu Mas HaMakeh, he shall be put to death, the one who hits and kills, Rotzeiahu, he's a murderer. So that teaches you, Aretzi Chasua Tahargo, you kill a person for murder, V'yatahargo Aretzi Chashoro, but you don't kill a person for the murder of his animal. So therefore, since we know based on the psukim of murder that when a man's animal kills, the owner of the animal is not put to death, because the pasuk basically says so. So then why did the Torah say the owner of the animal shall die? It doesn't mean the owner of the animal shall die. It's saying that the death of the animal is like what the owner would have gotten, and therefore an animal has to be in front of 23 judges. All right, an interesting question. We know that when we came to Har Sinai, Hashem said, put up fences, don't come close to the mountain. If you come close to the mountain, Hashem said, if it's a person or an animal, he won't live. So if an animal came too close to Har Sinai, did they need 23 judges to judge the animal or not?
Maybe it was a miracle he would die right away.
Apparently not. It was carried out by the court. So Yibalu had a question in the yeshiva. Shor Sinai, the mountains by Har Sinai. The comma, how many judges needed to judge them? Mi gamar shah mi doros. Do we say since in the future, when animals are put to death, as we've seen, for adultery or for murder, the animals need 23 judges. So therefore, in this temporary halacha of coming too close to Sinai, they also need 23 judges, or lower, maybe not. Tashmakam and here proof to Tani Rabbi Bar Yecheskel. Rabbi Bar Yecheskel taught the pasuk says, "In behemai mishlo yichyeh." If an animal or a man, he won't live. So the Torah links animal to man. So ma'ish b'asim v'shlosha, just like a man needs 23 judges. Apeim b'asim v'shlosha, animal also needs 23 judges. The Mishnah then listed a whole bunch of animals, a lion, a wolf, a bear, a panther, a cheetah. They need 23 judges. And then Rebbe Elazar had an interesting phrase, Kala kodem lahargam zacha. Anyone who kills them first, he gained. So Amrei Shlakish, Shlakish explained, what does it mean? Then Rebbe Elazar says, anyone who kills them first gains? Ushe misu, if these animals killed somebody, then a killer, someone can go kill them. Avalohi misu, but if they didn't kill, lo, then he can't kill them. Amal Kasavak, apparently Rish Lakish holds Yesh Lan Tarbus. These animals can be domesticated, and since they can be domesticated, a person's allowed to own them. And if somebody owns them and they haven't yet killed, Yesh Lan Bailam, they have an owner, no one else can go kill them. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, Af Pishalohim Yisu, Rabbi Lezer meant, even if these animals hadn't yet killed, a stranger can go kill them. Alma Kasavar in Lam Tarbus, because Rabbi Yochanan holds they cannot be domesticated. Yeah. Therefore, if somebody owns a lion, he doesn't really own the lion, because he's not allowed to own the lions. Anybody can go kill him. Can kill the lion, they ain't land by limbs, and there's no owner to them. Tanavim went to the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar said, Kala kodem lahargam zacha. Anyone who kills them first gains. It means he gains something. What did he gain? Now, Bishmal Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who allows the people to kill these animals even before these animals killed, the Mai Zacha, what's the gain? Zacha la oran, he gains their skins. El Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish, you can only kill them after they've already killed. So once an animal kills, it's a shor and a skal, you can't get any benefit from it. Yeah. So Lamai Zacha, so what did he gain? Kevin Shei Misu, once they kill, Shavin Rabbanu Kamanda Gemar Dinayu. So that means once they killed, it's as if they've been convicted. Yisuri Ananinu, you can't get benefit from it. So Lamai Zacha, what did you gain? So Gemara says, I'll tell you what you gained. Zacha L'Shamayim, you gained the merit in heaven that you saved people from these predators. That's what you gained. Tanya Kavasad Rib Shimri Lakish, we have a Bryce like Rish Lakish though. Echad Shor Shehemis, whether an ox kills, or Behema Vachaya Shemisu, or a domesticated or wild animal that kill, Be'asim Vishlosha, you need 23 judges. Rebbe Lezer says, Shor Shehemis Be'asim Vishlosha, an ox that kills needs 23 judges. Shar Behema Vachaya Shemisu, but other animals that kill, Kalakotim Lahargan Zachaban L'Shamayim. You don't need to go to 23 judges. If you kill them, you get a merit to heaven, but not that you get a merit of their skins. Rabbi Akiva said that the death of the wolf and the lion and the snake is with 23. So Rabbi Akiva in the Tanakam, it's the view of the Tanakam that you always need 23 judges to convict animals that kill. It could be Nayu Nachash, the difference is a snake. According to the Tanakama, a snake needs 23 judges. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he holds that a snake who kills, you don't need 23 judges, but kalakodim lahargo, the first person who kills him, zacha merits.
You can't put your pet to sleep.